Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Promise of Infrastructure is an edited scholarly volume associated with Nikhil Anand, Akhil Gupta, and Hannah Apple, published by Duke University Press. It belongs to anthropology, critical infrastructure studies, urban studies, and political theory rather than technical engineering. The book asks readers to treat roads, pipes, electricity grids, water systems, oil installations, and related networks not as neutral background utilities, but as social and political formations. Its central concern is how infrastructure organizes time, distributes resources, produces authority, and carries promises of development, equality, modernity, and future life. Drawing on ethnographic and theoretical work across multiple regions, the volume examines infrastructures as unfinished, fragile, contested, and more than human assemblages involving materials, institutions, environments, workers, users, and states. Its purpose is not to provide a manual for building infrastructure, but to show why infrastructure has become a crucial site for understanding contemporary power, inequality, aspiration, and failure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, infrastructure as a temporal process rather than a completed object. A major contribution of The Promise of Infrastructure is its insistence that infrastructure should be studied through time, not only through space or function. Conventional accounts often imagine infrastructure as moving from planning to construction to completion, after which it simply serves users. The essays challenge that linear model by emphasizing delay, repair, decay, suspension, adaptation, and abandonment. A road, pipe, grid, or dam does not become socially meaningful only when it is finished. It shapes expectations while it is proposed, reorganizes lives while it is being built, and continues to generate obligations when it breaks down or ages. This temporal view also complicates development narratives. Infrastructure is often presented as proof that a future of modernity or inclusion is arriving. Yet many projects remain unfinished, unevenly maintained, or already ruined when people encounter them. By focusing on infrastructural time, the volume shows that everyday life is organized around waiting, interruption, anticipation, and maintenance as much as around smooth circulation. This makes infrastructure an especially useful lens for analyzing how states and markets promise futures while leaving people to manage the material uncertainties of the present. Secondly, the double meaning of promise and infrastructure, the book uses the idea of promise in two connected ways. First, infrastructures promise material improvement. Water pipes promise access to clean water. Roads promise mobility and trade. Electricity lines promise domestic comfort and economic growth. And energy systems promise national development. These promises are not merely symbolic. They shape policy decisions, public hope, investment, and political legitimacy. Second, the volume argues that infrastructure itself has analytical promise for the social sciences. Because infrastructures link technical systems to social expectations, they reveal how futures are imagined and governed. The essays do not treat promise as simple optimism. A promise can inspire attachment, but it can also defer justice, conceal exclusion, or normalize waiting. When infrastructure fails or remains incomplete, people often continue to live within its promise, adjusting practices around what might arrive later. This double meaning gives the book its distinctive intellectual structure. It studies infrastructure as both an object of hope and a method for understanding how hope is materially organized. The result is a careful account of how future-oriented claims become embedded in concrete, steel, pipes, meters, roads, and administrative systems. Thirdly, infrastructure as a site of technopolitics and unequal distribution, The Promise of Infrastructure places politics at the center of infrastructural analysis. It shows that infrastructure is never just a technical arrangement for moving water, energy, people, or goods. Decisions about where systems are built, who is connected, who pays, who maintains, and who is exposed to breakdown are political decisions, even when they appear as engineering or administrative matters. The volume is especially concerned with technopolitics, the way technical systems become instruments of governance and social ordering. Infrastructure can make citizenship feel tangible when people receive water, roads, or electricity, but it can also mark exclusion when services are absent, delayed, dangerous, or unaffordable. This approach is important because inequality often becomes durable through ordinary material systems, rather than through explicit declarations of exclusion. A community may be formally included within a city or nation, while being practically marginalized by unreliable pipes, hazardous environments, or inaccessible transit. By following these material arrangements, the book shows how power operates through distribution, maintenance, and exposure. Infrastructure becomes a way to study the everyday production of authority, dependence, racialized vulnerability, and contested public life. Fourthly, ethnography of more than human infrastructural assemblages. the volume is grounded in anthropological and ethnographic approaches, which distinguish it from policy reports or engineering-centered infrastructure studies. Rather than beginning with systems diagrams or economic cost-benefit models, the contributors attend to the lived relations through which infrastructure operates: users, workers, officials, contractors, planners, materials, documents, machines, water, electricity, roads, and environments all become part of the analysis. This is why the book treats infrastructure as a more than human assemblage. Human intention matters, but infrastructure also depends on physical deterioration, weather, energy flows, technical standards, institutional routines, and unpredictable material behavior. Ethnography is valuable here because it can capture the gap between official infrastructure and infrastructure as experienced in daily life. A water system, for example, is not only a network of pipes, but also a set of waiting practices, repair negotiations, bodily risks, payment disputes, and public claims. This method allows the book to avoid both technological determinism and purely symbolic interpretation. It shows how infrastructure is made real through interactions among people, objects, institutions, and environments, and why those interactions often exceed the control of planners. Lastly, maintenance, breakdown, and ruination as central analytical categories. The promise of infrastructure gives special weight to maintenance, breakdown, and ruination. These are often treated as secondary problems that occur after the real work of infrastructure has been completed. The book reverses that assumption by showing that failure and upkeep are central to what infrastructure is. Maintenance reveals hidden labor, institutional priorities, and the uneven value assigned to different populations. Breakdown exposes dependencies that remain invisible when systems function smoothly. Ruination shows that infrastructure does not simply disappear when it fails. It continues to shape landscapes, memories, risks, and political demands. This focus is especially useful for understanding contemporary conditions in which many societies face aging systems, unfinished development projects, environmental stress, and unequal access to basic services. The book does not romanticize decay, but it treats ruins as evidence of historical promises, political neglect, and changing material relations. By studying what happens after optimism fades, the volume offers a more realistic account of infrastructural life. It encourages readers to ask not only what infrastructure enables, but also what obligations, harms, and abandoned futures remain when systems deteriorate. In conclusion, The Promise of Infrastructure is best suited for readers interested in anthropology, geography, urban studies, development studies, political ecology, science and technology studies, and critical social theory. It will be most useful to scholars, graduate students, advanced undergraduates, and researchers who want to understand infrastructure as a social and political field rather than as a purely technical system. Practitioners in planning, public policy, and development may also benefit from its attention to maintenance, distribution, delay, and public expectation, though the book is not designed as a practical engineering guide. Its intellectual benefit lies in giving readers a vocabulary for analyzing why infrastructure attracts hope, why it so often fails to fulfill that hope evenly, and how material systems organize political life. Compared with many books on infrastructure, this volume stands out for combining ethnographic specificity with broad theoretical ambition. It does not focus on a single sector, city, or technology. Instead, it uses multiple cases and contributors to show recurring patterns across different infrastructural worlds. Its distinctiveness also comes from its sustained attention to temporality and promise, especially the unfinished, decaying, and contested lives of infrastructure. For readers already familiar with infrastructure studies, some arguments may feel recognizable. But the collection remains a significant reference point because it clarifies why infrastructure has become such a powerful object for contemporary social analysis. If you would like to support Nikhil Anand, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.